from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Again, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt hanging out with you here until 12 o'clock. But to get things going right away, the Bills are back at training camp today after having yesterday off. They're at St. John Fisher. Got a little bit of an injury update. So we go now to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. And we did seem to get a bit of an update on a number of the injuries from earlier this week.
Yeah, especially. Let's start with, I think, the most important for what happened from a health and safety standpoint. That is offensive lineman Alec Anderson. Tuesday, he was taken to a hospital in an ambulance, a local hospital, with heat-related issues and a heat-related illness. He is back today. He was back with the team Tuesday night. I was told he actually was at the walkthrough Tuesday night. So I'm watching him right now. He's right in front of me. He is in full pads practicing with the offensive line. That is great news, obviously, for Alec Anderson. Not so great news on the injury front for rookie safety Cole Bishop. Week to week with a shoulder injury. He left practice early on Tuesday. He was seen afterwards with his arm wrapped. Now we know it's a shoulder injury. He's week to week. We couple that with Mike Edwards, also a safety, obviously. He is also week to week with a hamstring injury. So now the Bills depleted at safety a bit at the top. They're bringing up the back end with some signings, a couple of veterans. They signed Kareem Jackson last Tuesday, a couple of days ago. And yesterday they signed Terrell Burgess. Terrell Burgess was signed. He's a four-year player. Came in as a third-round pick by the Rams. I believe won a Super Bowl that year with the Rams, but he was signed in 2020. So, yeah, some injury updates on some guys, and we'll see, you know, where this goes today and where it goes for the next couple of weeks.
Now, for today at practice, are they back in pads, or is it kind of like a nice, easy kind of like, you know, back to it heading into tomorrow's, you know,
full padded practice, it looks like. We'll see how much banging they do, but it's full padded practice. I see players with, they're full pads on, shoulder pads, helmets. They have pants on with the pads in them. Sometimes you'll get just the, shorts. That's not the case. Looks like it's a full padded practice today. Of course, they have the return of the blue and red tomorrow night at Highmark Stadium. We can talk about that as well with the officials. They're going to be here. They're here today. They're going to be there tomorrow. We heard from Clay Martin, one of the officials. He's out on the field right now. So a full crew here today. They'll be at the scrimmage tomorrow night as well. It looks like a full padded practice today for the Bills. I don't have any vet rest days, but I'm looking around. I do see offensive lineman Mike Edwards on the stationary bike. He's been in concussion protocol. I do see running back Ty Johnson working with trainers over here as well. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury.
You brought up the officials. Is that standard? I mean, I saw when I was kind of coming in on your Twitter that, you know, referee Clay Martin is meeting with the media. Is that standard at training camp for an official to meet with the media before practice?
No, they do it once a year usually, especially when. So basically what happens is there's a day at camp where officials come to camp to review rules with the team, with players, with coaches, front office. They show video. Here's what we're looking for this year. Here's a point of emphasis this year. This is a new rule this year. So while they're here, and they usually coincide it with the scrimmage so that they can all kind of be a part of the scrimmage. You call it a scrimmage, right? Control practice tomorrow night at Highmark. So since they were here, especially because of the new kickoff rules, Bill's PR offered up and said, would you guys like to hear from a referee to talk with them? We're like, yeah, for sure. So that was nice of the Bills to offer, and Clay Martin met with us so he could kind of clarify any questions we had.
And then, Sal, you brought up the quote-unquote scrimmage, I mean, controlled practice. What should fans expect over at Highmark Stadium tomorrow? What time does that kind of get going? And then what should we see on the field?
Well, it's 5 to 7 tomorrow night. And usually, it's a great time for fans, for kids. It's a usually a packed house pretty much. I think even this year, I think they're even opening up the Upper Bowl, to be honest with you, I think is what I heard. Don't quote me on that one, but I guess it's on the radio now. I don't even know. I just heard it's going to be packed. So, yeah, listen, they're going to have a controlled scrimmage, controlled practice. So, you know, sometimes they make it an actual scrimmage with some scorekeeping for a couple periods. Like defense gets points for stops, points for, you know, turnovers. Offense gets points for points or first downs. Sometimes it's just a regular practice like it is out here, and that's the main part of it. They're still going to practice. You'll see the position groups and those kinds of things. Usually you go, you know, offense wears white, defense wears blue, or vice versa. So you can kind of separate the players there. But, yeah, it's a great time usually, and it's kind of a little break in camp for a weekend as well, because once they have that, the players will be back in Orchard Park. They'll be home or wherever for a full day on Saturday. And then they don't have to be back here until Sunday at 11:45. Sunday at 11:45, that's the latest training camp practice of the year. It's the one time. It's not at 9:45 a.m. So you have the Friday night, you have off Saturday, and then a late Sunday into Monday.
And, of course, the big news always for the return of the blue and red and blue, however you say it, scrimmage, is what kind of helmet is Josh Allen going to come out of the tunnel with, where he eventually will not play in it, but it always gets a pretty big cheer from the crowd.
I wonder what it'll be as well. Last couple of years, he's had, what, the red one, the blue one?
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, he's got the visor usually. So always a mystery to wonder what Josh Allen will come up with coming out of the tunnel. But today, we'll keep an eye on anything going on at practice today. Right now, the defense is over in the far field. It looks like the defensive line is over in the far field. Linebackers and DBs are over here getting ready for a little 7-on-7 work maybe. Or we'll see what it is. It looks like they're going to get ready for something. They're doing a little punt work right now as well.
Oh, real quick before you leave, on punting, though, that battle seems done now.
Well, I'll say this. The first phase of the battle is done. Just because Jack Browning was released doesn't mean Sam Martin's a lock to be on this roster. You know, if the Bills feel that there's somebody else out there, you know, they could go get somebody else for Sam Martin. Yeah, yes, right now, of course. You know, Sam Martin's the punter. It feels like he'll be the punter. But you never discount the fact that the roster changes over, and if there's someone out there, or there's someone at the end of camp that gets released or waived, and the Bills say, hey, you know what, we'd rather have this guy. So, yes, for now, Sam Martin's the punter, but I would not call that battle completely over. For this part of it is, I just wouldn't necessarily say that anybody's ever a lock. Tyler Bass, that's a little different. Tyler Bass, he's not going anywhere. He's a kicker with a big leg. He's young. Financial considerations there. He had a tough year last year, but I think the Bills have a lot of faith in him. But they have revolved their door at punter a little bit. That's why I just go back to saying you never, never know.
Sounds good. All right, Sal, enjoy practice. We'll talk again soon.
All right, you got it.
Restarting period.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. And I do want to remind you that Sal takes you behind the scenes during Bills training camp with Sal's all-access Facebook Live on the WGR's Facebook page, driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. So there, especially on the injury notes as well, Cole Bishop is week-to-week with a shoulder injury. I did see, though, Josh Reed tweeting out a video of Bishop standing on the sidelines. Didn't seem to have his shoulder in a harness. He was just in a t-shirt and shorts hanging out, so take for that what you will. Alec Anderson, though, I think wonderful news. Goes to the hospital just a few days ago, was released later that afternoon, and is back to practice in pads, ready to go. And it, you know, seemingly a potentially pretty big scare avoided there. Other sports news, do want to get to, though, real quick, because this just broke as we were coming on air. Gordon Hayward, for you NBA fans out there, is retiring from the league. Obviously became a March Madness legend with Butler, and was a pretty darn good player with, I would say, predominantly Utah, suffered a rough injury with Boston that kind of derailed his career, but definitely a fun player that I know as a college basketball junkie was one of my favorites. So good luck to retirement with him. We'll miss seeing him on the court. The safety position where the Bills are at now is I would say definitely a concern. I think just flat out with where they're at already, having not played a preseason game. I mean, we talked with Sal about it yesterday, or not yesterday, but on Tuesday. Kind of the worries a little bit of, man, you know, they're going to have to go to safeties. They're going to just have bodies to play. That seemingly is where they're going here, is just they need bodies to play with Kareem Jackson and Tyrell Burgess. They just need guys who can get on the field and, you know, take up reps so they're not just throwing out everybody. You know, guys like Taylor Rapp or Damar Hamlin have to play every single preseason snap, what have you. Because that's the thing. I mean, now we don't really know when Bishop is, or Mike Edwards are going to be back on the field. And I think that's going to be a huge thing. It's just, I think this solidifies Bishop is not going to be a starting safety to start the year. Some would say that's not really a bad thing. I kind of would be up there too, just based on the fact of how, you know, Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babbitt has spoken about him. Bills head coach Sean McDermott has spoken about him. They're taking their time and allowing it to kind of, you know, marinate rather than throwing him to the wolves just because Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are no longer in the building. So that's going to be really, really fascinating going forward. I, of course, am interested in tomorrow's scrimmage. That's always a lot of fun for fans. I've been once a number of years ago before Allen started coming out in the fun little helmets and stuff like that. That's always a good time. Is, you know, he comes out in whatever helmet. Doesn't even end up practicing in the scrimmage with said helmet on. It usually he hands it off to an equipment guy, gets a regular one, and goes on from there. But that's always a lot of fun. And it's going to reopen the conversations about when the Bills, like, you know, new third jersey's coming out. I just saw today the Green Bay Packers are going to have a whiteout uniform as well. So that those conversations are never going to slow down. I mean, a few years ago, too, Allen came out in the red color rush jersey that they have with white pants, and everyone was kind of like, oh, wait a second, that looks fantastic. I'm interested to see what the Bills are going to do for a third, maybe alternate jersey. Some teams do the whiteout looks. The Bills kind of already have that. Other teams have gone back to their older jerseys that they've had, you know, back in like the 90s, the 80s, 70s, 60s, what have you. The Bills could do that. I mean, they do have the Standing Buffalo, of course, the red helmet of the 90s. I know that's one a lot of fans want. I personally don't care to have it. The one I definitely don't want back is the early 2000s navy blue. Get out of here with that garbage. I never want to see that again. I prefer seeing that with Trent Edwards and J.P. Lossman, quote-unquote, highlights, and that's it. I never wanted to touch the grace of this team. I really, really don't. But it's good to see the Bills back at practice. The injury report, though, is getting slightly concerning, especially at the safety position, a position that is very much going through kind of this revolving door and into a new era. It is going to be one of the stories now, I think, for the rest of camp, of how do the Bills' safeties look comparative to who's actually on the field? Do they have the full complement of players that they need? And flat out, they're not going to. And that is going to be something to watch, because ultimately, you know, guys like Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards specifically, was seen as somebody that was likely going to start alongside Taylor Rapp. Now he's not. Now it is going to be Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp for the foreseeable future, along with having guys like Kareem Jackson and Tyrell Burgess filling in on the back end. With that being said, though, it may not be a bad idea, or it may not be a bad circumstance for them to have now all this depth at the safety position, learning the defense. Bishop, I think, as well, is now going to just be able to sit back and learn the ins and outs of the defense, which has been something that the coaches have been banging the drum that he is going to have to do. Now he's going to get that opportunity to do so. And that is, I think, only a positive, that he will be able to just sit back and learn the defense. That was something that in Allen's rookie year after the Houston game where he got hurt, he was able to kind of just sit back, watch, let the game slow down for him. I think Bishop is going to maybe have a similar, you know, process here. The only difference is we won't see him play in a lot of games beforehand. So that's going to be incredibly, it's going to be nerve-wracking, I think.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Honestly, to watch, it's such an important aspect of the Bills' defense, their safety tandems, and it's been huge for the Bills to have their same complement of safeties year in and year out for a number of years with McDermott and Bean. Now it is the transitional year, and we're already dealing with injuries. That is not a good sign. Towards the end of their careers here with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, when they weren't on the field late due to injuries at practice or what have you, it always kind of was like, it's fine. They know the defense. They'll be okay. They'll get it together. It's not the same argument here. It's much more nerve-wracking compared to years past, because, you know, Taylor Rapp, while he was signed, yes, from the Rams last offseason and kind of seen as one of the, I guess, you know, future safeties on this team, it's not like he, you know, left last year with people having like huge expectations for him. Yes, he has the interception against Tua Tagovailoa to end Miami's bid for the AFC East title, and it, you know, essentially locks it in for the Bills. But it's not like the rest of the year he was like this surefire, hey man, you can move off of Hyde and Poyer now. Rapp's got it covered. Really wasn't that at all. Hamlin, last year was really more just him coming back from his injury and reestablishing himself as an NFL player. The year prior, he did very, very well covering for Micah Hyde. But
again, none of us were sitting there going, man, that's a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type player. Again, you can move on from Hyde and Poyer now. Cole Bishop, again, I mean, they kind of proved it. By taking a safety in the second round, they kind of know the unknown that they have at that position now and with how important it is to the Bills' defense. While, yes, it may be good that you're getting a lot more people in the building who can, say, learn the defense, right now it is in early days of camp, but right now it is, for me, very nerve-wracking because of how important it is to the defense. And then as well, you just don't know what you have on the defensive line. Von Miller sure looks at the start of camp has looked pretty good. AJ Manessa, Greg Rousseau, sure. But you don't know if you have any true game changers there. And if your safety, all the way on your back end, your defense is shaky or learning a new system, and then you don't really have any game changers on the defensive line, that is asking a lot of really everyone on the defense. And it's just, they dealt with injuries last year, and that was really, I think, their biggest downfall was injuries. And now, it's sort of starting early already, and I think in a very important position for this Bills defense. And it's just, it is very nerve-wracking, especially with the offense. As somebody, I've said it a lot, I'm very into the offensive identity I think the Bills are going for this year of we're going to spread the ball around, it's going to be a lot of guys feeding, the whole thing. It was a lot of it was prefaced on, but I think the defense will also be really good. So even if there are struggles early, they'll be fine. And now it's just it's a lot of unknowns. They did not add anyone on the defensive line late in free agency, such as like a guy like a Yannick Ngakoue or anything like that. They've kind of sat back and are like, okay, we'll see what happens. And man, it is something that I am going to be avidly paying attention to when it comes to the preseason games. And on that point, we do, of course, have the preseason starting tonight with the Hall of Fame game. I cannot believe I'm actually going to say this. I'm actually looking forward to the Hall of Fame game, which is maybe the first time in my life I've ever looked forward to the Hall of Fame game. Josh, have you ever, like, once, like, cared for the Hall of Fame game?
Not really. I remember watching it last year just because, I mean, I figured Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play last year, but him being there just kind of like, hey, I wonder.
There was some aspect of like unknown, you know, and let's see.
Like, what if he does get in there for a snap or two? And obviously he didn't end up playing, but it was still interesting to watch because you also had Zach Wilson playing, and it's like, hey, what's he going to do?
That was my favorite part, was watching Zach Wilson play and watch Aaron Rodgers like get real excited because like essentially his son was playing.
Right, yeah, pretty much.
That was the only part that I liked about it.
It was also weird because I remember during Hard Knocks in that, because that was like one of the last episodes of Hard Knocks for last season, Rodgers and, like, I think it was Dorian Thompson Robinson were, like, best buddies. Like, they were just talking whole time they could. And it was really, I remember just being like, that's really weird. Like, how, why? Where's the correlation?
Yeah, where is this coming from? Like, Robinson was, I think, a rookie last year out of UCLA. It was like, what is happening here?
Right, that's why, UCLA.
Well, Rodgers went to Cal, though.
But California connection, probably. Because, I mean, I don't know where Dorian Thompson Robinson's from, but just the California connection, probably there was something there. But no, I've never really been excited for the Hall of Fame game, but for some reason this year I am, and I don't know why.
It's the kickoffs, baby. That's where I'm at.
I want to see the kickoffs.
That's all I care about.
Well, I want to see them too. I'm excited about that. But if I'm breaking it down percentage-wise, it's like 35% kickoffs.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like 90% for me.
I can't explain it. I don't know why it's like that, but I want football.
I'd even argue 95%.
I think I also just want live sports. Like, I the Olympics are on, get that, but half of those sports, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and you're just watching because like, it's watching on my TV.
Right. Like, I saw this funny TikTok earlier, and it's like, people every 3 years, swimming, whatever, the Olympics, go swim, go faster, do the thing. Like, that's how I feel right now. But I want a live sport that I understand.
It feels like, you know, football's coming back and then hockey's back and then it's now all of a sudden everything's back. I mean, I was feeling that way yesterday because fall camp started for a lot of college football programs. And I was like sitting here like looking up like any camp reports I could get. And I'm like, oh man, I'm a sicko, aren't I? Like that's the feeling. Tonight though, it's a lot of, I just want to see what the kickoffs look like. Especially when you had Matthew Smiley, Bill's special teams coordinator, like mention that like, it might look different in the preseason compared to the regular season. I'm like, cool. So I can like hopefully root for like some insanity on like the Hall of Fame game night. Like that's perfect for me. And then of course you get the barn burner of a matchup, Davis Mills versus Tyson Bagent. I mean, that's going to be fantastic.
You were the biggest Davis Mills supporter for five minutes.
I was a huge Davis Mills supporter. He was great his rookie year compared to every other rookie quarterback.
Yeah, because every other rookie quarterback was like Zach Wilson.
Look, the disrespect we had on Davis Mills was
who was
about perfectly blown. It was not overblown.
You can't sit here and tell me that was a rookie draft class where you can say, yeah, this guy from the Houston Texans that basically is recognizable
like
because
pick.
He has a long neck.
Yeah.
That's the guy that's going to be the best quarterback in the class.
Man, I felt so bad for him when he played the Bills and threw like four picks. Like I was like,
you were at that game, weren't you?
I was at that game.
Yeah, that was
like I was rooting for the Bills, but I'm like, Coach, pull Davis. Like this is disrespectful. Like get him out of there. He was not bad his rookie year. I'm not saying anything after that has been great, but like his rookie year was pretty solid. Look, listen to this. He started 11 games, 66 completion percentage, 2,600 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Stop it.
That's not bad. That's not bad for a rookie.
But you can't sit here and say that you were going to build off of that. Because if you look at the numbers, yes, it looked good. But if you look at the performances,
I don't disagree. Like, look, I was in for year two, and then year two was bad. They won three games.
What's even funnier is like looking at this draft class. He should not have been the best quarterback by a long shot. There are so many. Where was he drafted? Fifth round, you said?
I think so. He was definitely not a first round pick. Oh no, wait, was he a second round pick or a third round pick? He may have been. He was a third round pick.
But like looking at the other quarterbacks in this class, you had Trevor Lawrence in this draft class.
Yeah, and Davis Mills put up some good numbers for a rookie year. Zach Wilson was garbage. Trey Lance didn't play. Justin Fields kind of played, didn't look great. Mac Jones, his rookie year, was better than everyone. Kyle Trask, get out of here. Kellen Mond, get out of here. Mike Zimmer didn't want to play him. Like I remember that point, like in the rookie year where like the Vikings were out of it and their coach Mike Zimmer was their head coach, and the media was like, you know, are you going to get a look at Kellen Mond in this game? He goes, no, I get a look at practice.
You're
like was disrespectful. Like I get a look at practice. Why do I need to get a look in a game?
Oh, this is weird. I was looking. Oh,
Davis Mills makes sense.
I was looking at the draft class, and I was looking at Mills' numbers compared to Lawrence's numbers, and I'm like, wait a second, this is not what Lawrence did his rookie season because it's his entire stats for his career so far. I was so confused. But no, I
85 touchdowns. You're like what?
Yeah, I was like, when did that happen? I can't believe that was how that worked out.
I will
so
never forget the 2021 draft because I was at a buddy's house. Derek Kramer, host of Sports Talk Saturday. I was hanging out with him, and we were at one of his buddy's house. And, you know, Lawrence went one, Wilson went two, and then Trey Lance did go three. There was a lot of rumors that Mac Jones was going to go three. And I was super excited for Trey Lance at the time. I was a big Lance guy coming out of North Dakota State, the whole thing.
Well, there was all the comparables to, like, Josh Allen and
Carson
that.
Wentz as well, who we went to that school with.
Right.
I was very excited for Lance. And I thought he landed in the perfect spot. Turns out I was deeply wrong on that.
Well, okay.
And then the Patriots are coming. Like their pick's coming up, you know, they seem like they were the next team. And I'm like, oh my God, don't let them get Justin Fields. Like I was freaking out, Josh. When I talk about like I was having like a slight panic attack, because remember, this is like relatively into this is the start of the Patriots are bad.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, no way. The Bills just got good, and they're going to land Justin Fields, who at the time, and I still partially feel this way, I think he has elite quarterback traits. And I think if you put him in a right system and he was nurtured correctly from the start, I think you're looking at a great quarterback.
Can we agree, that Pittsburgh is not the right system?
Correct. No, I think that's absolutely correct.
He's going to start in Pittsburgh, but it's not going to work.
Which is wild.
Right.
Because if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I'd have been like, Russell Wilson's going to start. The only time Fields is going to see the field is if they're out of the playoffs.
Or for kick returns.
There we go. Now we're talking.
That'd be fun.
But like, apparently, because of Wilson's injury, like Fields has taken up all of the first team reps.
And he's looked decent.
But
I just don't think it's going to work in a game situation. It's not the right system.
They have no real weapons outside of George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth.
I mean, but have you seen what he's been saying about George Pickens? Justin Fields loves Pickens.
I would. He's the only guy I can throw to.
Well, right, but it's the idea of the fact that
Roman Wilson just got hurt too. Yeah, so like one of their rookie guys that they picked up.
Who do they still? They still have Najee Harris, right?
They do still have Najee Harris, I believe. I don't think they picked up
his fifth year
option though.
Yeah, but there's still just no improvement whatsoever there.
No,
I. But I just look at that scenario.
Speaking of the 2021 class, Najee Harris.
Oh, yeah.
That was a whole thing that, like, everyone knew who was going to pick Najee Harris for, like, a month and a half. Right. It was like, it's going to be Pittsburgh. Let's just move on.
I can't look at the Steelers here and just think that they're going to be any better.
No, I think they're going to be exactly what they are, which is like 8-9 wins. That's who they're going to be.
They're going to keep the record going, and that's it.
But when it was coming to it, where it looked like the Patriots were going to be able to take him at 15, I was like, please no. Like, I cannot deal with this. And then Chicago trades up, they take him. And at the time, Josh, I will tell you, at the time, I probably tweeted about it a lot too. I'm like, Chicago just finally got their first franchise quarterback. Like, I was ecstatic for Chicago fans. Turns out, again, very wrong, but now they seemingly got it going. They just paid DJ Moore, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze. They look absolutely phenomenal.
Van Jefferson is on the Steelers.
That's not great. Who else is on the I was going to say, do you have the receiver room?
I'm looking at – so they have Roman Wilson, Quez Watkins, George Pickens.
Philadelphia Eagles superstar, Quez Watkins.
George Pickens, Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin.
Oh, boy.
And then a bunch of guys.
That feels
Tariq
right.
Black, Jacob Copeland, Dez Fitzpatrick, Scott Miller, Jeray Jenkins, who doesn't even have a football reference page.
You've made up half these names.
No, I wish I did. And Deuce Watts.
I got nothing.
Like I said, the one guy, if you go over his name, there's not a little blue line to like take you to his profile page.
You talk about a bad wide receiver room. That is not good. That is really not good.
And then
good.
Their tight ends are, I mean, it's Pat
Freiermuth. It's Pat Freiermuth.
Oh, they have Michael Pruitt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that 21 quarterback class, I had visions of grandeur for that class, and
everyone
all went to hell.
I mean,
Trevor Lawrence is good.
Trevor Lawrence had a bad first year with Urban Meyer. That like it was just an unfair
and then
situation.
Last year every receiver including Calvin Ridley dropped every pass.
Right.
Like
and
Lawrence
this year,
is good
really
after
have
that
any
I have
wide
idea.
Receivers. He just
well, he has Gabe Davis, he's got Brian Thomas Jr.
You want to talk about dropping passes?
Christian Kirk. Yeah, it's I mean, they're
okay,
going to
be Brian Thomas Jr. If he comes in and is good, then that's a big positive for the Jaguars. But that's if the Jaguars can, you know, not jaguar themselves and fall apart at the worst possible times.
Yep. I think also in that 21 class, I think Davis Mills was the first Houston Texans pick of that class. And it was like a third-round pick. We'll have to check in the break, but I'm pretty sure on that. Do have to take a quick time out. If you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. We will, though, when we come back, hear from Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, who spoke earlier today. We did get a bit of an injury update, namely on Cole Bishop being week-to-week with a shoulder injury. We'll hear the rest of his comments after a timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, and this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.